full of grace and truth. How about that? Does anybody need grace? Yes. Anybody looking for truth? How about that? And it continues on. He is full of grace and truth, and we have received from His fullness. He is full of grace and truth, and we have received from His fullness grace upon grace. So everybody who said they were looking for grace, you're in luck. From His fullness, we have received grace upon grace. Lavish grace. And then John continues, grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. He just kind of puts it out there. If you haven't picked up what I'm putting down, let me just make it clear. Grace and truth come from Jesus Christ. This, brothers and sisters, is the good news. This is the good news, that if you are looking for grace, and let's just be clear, grace meaning, and that's that thing we all struggle with, what is grace? And we struggle with it so much that we completely sort of ignore it. We set it aside and just think, by God's grace, I can be good enough, I can be holy enough, I can have it all together enough to deserve God's grace. Does that seem absurd to anyone? We do it. That's what we do. By God's grace, I am allowed to come into this faith, and in this faith, this Christian faith, I get to be holy enough and good enough and make everybody think I have it together enough that I will deserve God's grace. And that is a complete contradiction. So the good news is that in Christ, there is fullness of grace. There is lavish grace, grace upon grace. Grace and truth have come to us through Jesus Christ. That's the good news. The only condition, if you want, because we think of grace as unconditional, unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, whatever. The only condition is that this Jesus Christ is the source. That's the condition. And that proves to be too much for a lot of people, unfortunately. And so it doesn't do us or anyone any good to say, yes, Jesus, I believe that grace and truth come from you. I believe that you, Jesus, are the revelation of God, that in looking at you and your life, we find God, we find grace, we find truth. So I'm going to go down these other paths now, looking for grace and truth and God. And it's easy for us in this room to kind of think, yeah, Pastor Robert, that's right. So many people out there do that. They go down these other paths looking for grace and for truth and for God, and they always kind of end up lost and bankrupt and we do it too. We may or may not in this room be going down paths of other religions or things like that, looking for grace and truth and God. But we easily find ourselves going down the paths of the classic pursuits of money or material wealth, of pleasure, physical pleasures, and power. Money and pleasure and power. And maybe not through debauchery and overt sin and that sort of thing, but especially this time of year, unfortunately, we can easily find ourselves pulled along those sorts of things. So I just had this. This is the thing that will make my life complete. This is the satisfaction that I am looking for. This bit of material satisfaction or money in the bank, this bit of pleasure of numbing myself or of heaping up a physical life, or this bit of power, of influence, or of kind of convincing everyone that I have it all together. And that's the problem, because again, there's no grace in that. We are trying to put it together for ourselves. We're trying to find these particular worldly things that will give us the grace and the truth and the God that we're looking for. But the thing is, the condition that Jesus is the source, that he is the one through whom we find grace and truth and the revelation of God. It's not exclusion. And that's what a lot of people like to say. Oh, the Christians are all exclusive and exclusionary or whatever. And sadly, a lot of Christians give reason for belief in that. But it's not exclusion, it's direction. It's like saying, you know, you get to Albuquerque by going north, not west. If you just take off directly west, you're not really going to ever get to Albuquerque. Is that exclusion? Oh, man, you got something against the west. No, that's just direction. There aren't options. And so it's not doing anyone who's looking to go somewhere a service by saying, yeah, man, whatever path you're on, it'll get you there. You know? No, tell me how to get there. Give me directions. And so it is with God. The same thing. I don't know. I'm not here to. When people ask me about other faiths and that sort of thing, my answer is I can tell you about Jesus Christ. It's God is the judge, and it's not up to me what he thinks about other paths and other faiths or whatever, but I am staking my life. Not only would I, but I am staking my life on the fact that Jesus Christ is the direction to God. He's not just giving directions to God, he is the direction to God the Father. And so we follow him, and that's the way John presents this. Jesus is, I mean, notice what he's saying. Jesus isn't rejecting people. It doesn't say some people came to Jesus and he rejected them. It says that Jesus came to all these people and they rejected him. Right? They rejected him. But as much as it's up to him, he's coming. As much as it's up to God, God is coming to every person on the planet. And by everyone, it's a tricky little Greek thing that actually just really what it means is everyone. Everyone means everyone. God is reaching out to every person, even the ones that you may be thinking of right now and thinking, surely not. Yes, them. God is reaching out to them to give them the direction to him, to bring them into his grace upon grace. And that's the good news. And that's Christmas. He has stopped at nothing. There is nothing lacking in what God has done for the world to come to us and to bring us into a loving embrace forever with him, starting now. And so, it isn't just that God comes to give us God, which is more than enough. It is when God comes and gives us himself, brings us into himself, what he is doing is bringing us to ourselves. For the first time, we are not ourselves apart from him. So not only by following Jesus' direction, which is Jesus himself, by following Christ, not only do we find God, which again is more than enough, but in him we find ourselves as God's children. Anyone who received him, not those who rejected him, but all of us who decide, yeah, I think that's the right direction. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to go his way. He gave power. He gives power to become children of God. Power to become. You have the power to become children of God. And this is God's will. Not that we can maybe get knowledgeable enough, follow the right doctrines, follow the right religious practices, become one of the elite so that we are allowed into the club. That's not God's will for us. God is not a bouncer standing at the velvet rope and saying, what connections do you have, or what's in it for me? Or the good news is, God's will is for kids. God wants kids. You may have missed that, and all the John lays this out, and I love it because it's this rich theology, mystical stuff there at the beginning of John's gospel. But in the midst of all that, you may have missed the point, and that is, God's will is for kids. God wants children. That's the point. To everyone who will accept Jesus' invitation, yeah, come on. I'm here for you. And again, he says that to everybody. I'm here for you. To everyone who says, all right, then I'm here for you too. Then he says, all right, now you, I give you the power to become children of God. You are no longer wayward. Your life is not meaningless. You have identity now, and not the identity that comes from your worldly pursuits, but an unchanging, undying identity as children of God. You are mine, God says. You are mine. And that is why, if you continue on reading the first chapter of John's Gospel, Andrew goes and tells his brother Simon, who becomes Peter. And Philip goes and tells his friend Nathanael. And what they're doing, the reason they're doing this is not because, hey, there's a guy who's starting this new elite secret club and maybe we'll be good enough to get in. No. It's because, hey, we found the Messiah, and what that means is we have found grace upon grace. We are seeing, just in our initial encounter with him, that grace and truth have come from this revelation of God. This is who God is. The one, says John, who is close to the Father's heart, the Son. So come on. I have a strong feeling if he accepts me, he's going to accept you. And so they go and tell the ones they care about. And eventually they tell ones that they don't really care about. They find themselves caring about everybody. As the story goes on, the whole world needs to hear this. The king is here. And it goes on. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are telling the story. Luke continues with a second volume through Acts, and that's what it's all about. All these people just going around the world, and a lot of them, most of them, dying because of it, just to tell the world, the king has come. There is a new king of heaven and earth. And so that's what we do too. Or at least we should. That's the good news. That there is grace upon grace. Because of the fullness of grace and truth in him, don't miss this, this is it, lean in close for this. Because of the grace and truth, the fullness of grace and truth in Jesus, there is enough for you. There is enough grace for you to find healing and wholeness and light and love forever. And there is more than enough grace to share. Let's pray. Loving Lord, whatever it is we are looking for this Christmas, help us to open our eyes and see it's all in you. There is no need to look any further. There is no need to look anywhere else. Fullness of grace and truth are in you. Grace upon grace all that we could ever need is in you. So may we receive our daily bread and maybe even icing on the cake every now and then with humility and joy and thankfulness to you. But may we realize it's you, the giver, who are the true gift. And it is a gift for the world. And that is such good news that we can't help but share it, to share this gift with the world. May that be what guides us into the new year. In your name, amen.